Well, Kathy, welcome here to Active Voice Radio today. It's a thrill to have you on the line. Thanks for taking time to speak with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. All the people on the trip had either, you know, been to Israel and Palestine before, you know, were experts on the issues, or were very, very interested in the issues and had been, you know, working on them. In fact, two of the people were very interested in the issues, the one from South Africa and the one from Wales, but had never been there before. So for them, it was their first trip. As well as for one of the people from the U.S. But everyone was very interested, and people were chosen on that basis, that, you know, to represent different Quaker groups, to represent Quakers in different countries, and also on the basis of their expertise, you know, and interest in the subject. So that's how we got people together. Very surprised, I think. I think there was one person in the group who just, you know, kept having flashbacks to her experiences before the dismantling of apartheid. You know, there was one person in the group who you know didn't think it was going to be as, you know, as bad, you know, the situation, but when she got there, she found it was much, much worse than she thought it would be. So when you, you know, think about, like, what were we there to do, it was, you know, to look at, you know, not only expose people to the issues there, because, like I said, people are already interested in what was happening there, but we were there to as a group examine, you know, what the current situation was, and interview and talk to people, both Israelis and Palestinians, as to what they saw were some of the prospects for peace and where some of the openings for peace could be. So then we decided to write that up into a trip report, but not only a trip report, we also wanted to make it something that was that also had some substance to it, like, you know, that talked about some of the issues in, you know, involved in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So that's how we then proceeded from using the trip report as a basis, but to also use it then to, you know, to educate people about the issues and the things that we had seen and in some cases not seen. That's an excellent point, because as AFSC we have, you know, done more and more of framing our work in terms of human rights, because it puts it into a realm of equality for all then. You know, we're not talking about, you know, just one people, you know, or another people, but we say all people deserve, you know, human rights. And Palestinians have not had the right to education, you know, because of the closure and because of you know, strikes and the intifada and so on. People have really suffered from not being able to get, you know, an education in a way that one, you know, has a right to an education. The other is, you know, the right to movement. People have a right, you know, to move, you know, within their own country. People have a right, you know, it's part of the declaration, the UN Declaration for Human Rights, that people have a right to leave their own country and come back, you know. So these are the kind of rights that we're trying to, you know, to say people have the right to health. They have the right to health care, you know. And when they don't get that, then, you know, their rights are denied. The quote that Jeff Helper, what he says, but, you know, it's time to, like, for one thing, I don't believe that being for justice is neutral. You can't be neutral. You have to be for justice, and that means being, you know, anti, you know, oppression and anti, you know, what's happening to the people who are being oppressed. So in that sense, there isn't neutrality. But what Jeff says is that it's time to stop talking about, you know, being pro-Israeli or pro-Palestinian, but it's time to start talking about being pro-peace and pro-justice. There are Israelis and Palestinians who are pro-peace and justice, and there are Palestinians and Israelis who are not necessarily working for peace with justice. So he's kind of trying to reframe the whole issue and the debate about neutrality and even-handedness and that. So I do believe that we have to work with, and I as an international person there, as a third party, I want to, and I will work with all Palestinians and all Israelis, you know, in whatever ways I can, for peace. You know, a number of things that I feel, you know, very good about. Let me just begin by saying, because the Quakers have been in Palestine since, the 1800s, and, you know, by the way, established a girls' school there first, and then a boys' school after that, to give, opportunities, you know, for education to girls, especially, to start with. In 1910, there was a Quaker meeting established. So there are generations of Quakers who have grown up there, and were born into Quaker families and have remained Quaker. So when you talk about tools, I think one of the best things that I can go there with is, equipped to know, or knowing that Quakers have an excellent reputation there, and you know, people respect Quakers. They see them as not trying to push their own religion on others, but, you know, being very open and free to, you know, to all three of the faiths there. So probably the best tool is that openness, you know, if you can call it that. But, you know, or the best, you know, the biggest advantage I have. Also, the fact that, you know, the peace testimony, I think, is a very important tool that I'm taking with me. I grew up Mennonite, so I grew up a pacifist in a pacifist tradition, and then joined the Quaker meeting in Ramallah when I was there. So I'm a member of the meeting there. So it feels very much like I'm part of a group that I can, you know, very, very well be with and work on, you know, on their behalf and in their name and so on. So yes, I think that's a big plus, you know, that I'm taking with me. Thank you. think the whole idea of nonviolence right now, nonviolence as a, you know, as a way of, you know, ending the occupation, has become very, you know, very much more known and popular in you know, as an idea, both in the Israeli and the Palestinian community. There are many, you know, peace groups in Israel, but unlike here, I think when I first went to live in Jerusalem, I was assuming that when you call yourself a peace group, you are, you know, assume that that one believes in nonviolence and pacifism. And that's not true. You know, a peace group over there in Israel means that they are working, you know, for peace between Israelis and Palestinians in their own way, you know. Doesn't mean that necessarily they're pacifists. So I think the idea of pacifism has, you know, is quite a new idea for many. And I'm not saying for the general, you know, population. There have always been, you know, Israelis who have believed in nonviolence and have, you know, have lived their lives that way, and Palestinians as well. But in Palestinian society right now, even though most of the struggle against the occupation since 1967 has been nonviolent, through nonviolent means, it's always the violence that we hear about. So it always feels like Palestinians are using so much violence. But if you look at, if you really analyze, you know, the methods that were used during the First Intifada, and it's changed a little bit during the Second Intifada. There's been more violence because of the guns, you know, available and so on. But even at that, you know, most of the resistance has been nonviolent. Now, Palestinians are at this point saying, but if, you know, if we have used nonviolence in the past, and we still have not gotten rid of the occupation, what does that mean? Well, maybe, you know, we need to organize into, you know, look at what are the nonviolent strategies we want to use as a whole, maybe not just as individuals or as, you know, as groups, but as a whole people. And that's been more where Palestinians have, you know, are going in their thinking. What does it mean for their society as a whole, using nonviolence as a way of ending the occupation? Well, I think there's a couple of things that I really look forward to. I think there's a sense of community, and you know, among Palestinians that is very, you know, conducive to, you know, to taking people in and bringing them in and making people feel at home, you know. So on that level, you know, I look forward to being part of a community there in a way that doesn't really happen in North America. And of course, I know many Israelis and many Palestinians from when I lived there before, and have continued to work with them over the years and in many, many different ways, organizing speaking tours in the U.S. for Israelis and Palestinians, and, you know, just being one thing. So I think, you know, that's another thing I look forward to, is to continue working with some of the people that I did before and meeting new ones and new colleagues over there. And I think the other thing that's very attractive to me is to work, you know, to feel like you're really working right at the base where the issues are, you know. It's not two and three times removed. Like here, you know, we work on U.S., you know, we're working to change U.S. policy on Middle East, which is, you know, has become almost a hopeless task. Over there, you know, I'm working, you know, right at the base, at the grassroots with the people, you know, both the people who are suffering and the ones, you know, Israelis who are interested and want to do something about it. So you're very much connected at a very visceral level.
express my wish for a very safe and productive trip over to Ramallah in March.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me. I appreciate very much having this conversation with you.